Hey guys, so before this episode actually starts, we just wanted to let you know that in honor of the Black Lives Matter movement, we're trying to put together an episode consisting of your opinions, ideas, messages, anything you want to say in order to spread awareness and show support. We understand that these are incredibly difficult times, and we are trying our best to do our part and use this platform to do so. You can get involved by either DMing or emailing us your message, which could be anonymous or not. Our email is wtfgenzpodcast@gmail.com. Or by clicking the link that you can find in our Instagram bio, which is @WTFGenZ, and leaving a voice message, which we will include in the episode. We want as many voices to be heard as possible, so please reach out to us. Thank you, stay safe, and let's get into this week's episode.
Yeah. Hello, this is Stephanie.
And Genesee.
And you're listening to WTF is Up with Gen Z, the podcast where we explore teen life in the digital era.
But before we get started, let's make sure to tell you guys our socials so you can support us that way. Okay, so first, make sure to follow us on Instagram @WTFGenZ. You can stay updated with us there. We post some pretty quirky photos, you could say, nonetheless. And you have some important links in our bio, too, like the link for listener support. That way you can support us financially, and we will not have to put in as many ads. So speaking of listener support, thank you so much to Andrew and Aaron for being our first two donors. Not organ donors, that's what it sounded like. Money donors. And all the money that we get from listener support goes towards making the podcast better. It does not go into our own personal bank accounts, just so you know. And then our email is WTFGenZpodcast@gmail.com, and you can email us with any questions, concerns, ideas, if you want to be featured on the podcast, and we are very welcoming. So if you want to be, chances are you will be. So as long as you have a good idea, make sure you have an idea. And then finally, the link in our show notes, you can send in a voice message that will be featured in the podcast. And it can be any length. It could be anonymous, although we can't hear your voice. But it's fun. Send in a voice message.
We love hearing from you. Exactly. Love to hear from you guys.
Exactly, yeah.
So today's episode is all about social media. And I'm sure us Gen Z kids, people, we've grown up with social media for most of our lives. And it has definitely taken both positive and negative effects on the quality of life that we experience.
Yeah. I personally have been on social media, I think, since like third grade. I remember I had Instagram for like a year and my parents made me get rid of it. And then I got it again in like sixth grade or something, or maybe fifth. I don't know. But I've had it since I was like really young. And of course, I was watching YouTube during that time too.
Yeah, I am on the same boat as you. I've uploaded videos to YouTube, you and I did, way back in elementary school. I think the first time you came over to my mom's house, we recorded a video for YouTube, if you remember.
Really?
Yeah, we did. It was Funny Terror. We were like on the, where the stairs were, we had my computer on the little ledge that was there, and I remember.
Yeah, I remember now. Yeah, I remember now. That's funny. Yeah, look up Funny Terror. Chances are it probably will not come up, but that would be my first YouTube debut.
Probably a good thing.
Not Stephanie's.
No. I've been on. I had my own show. It was called Stephanie's Animal Talk Show. I talked to stuffed animals, in case you're curious.
And we also started our own YouTube channel together. When was that? Like sixth grade, maybe? Seventh?
I think it was fifth grade.
Fifth grade? Yeah. Fifth grade to sixth grade, probably. Maybe it was probably in the summer.
Wait, which one? We had two YouTube channels.
We did? Wait.
Yeah, we had the Blue Moons, which had one music video.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about Crafty Girls.
Oh, Crafty Girls, which later is known as Panthera Tigris, which is the scientific name of a tiger.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, we changed it. Like, we were going to, like, revamp the YouTube channel, but then we didn't do anything except make, like, some weird trailer of us screaming.
And screaming in tiger onesies banging pans.
Yeah.
That's iconic YouTube times.
Yeah. But Crafty Girls is all about doing crafts. And, I mean, that was actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't successful at all, but, like, it was fun.
We had it going for at least a month of consistent videos.
Yeah, because we would post once a week and take turns making crafts.
That was really fun.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. Yeah, I mean, the videos would probably seem, like, really cringy now, but that's fine.
Yeah, and I just looked on my Instagram in my saved photos, and the earliest post I have that wasn't deleted was from June 2nd, 2012, which is 8 years ago. So we're in 11th grade, so that's third grade. I had Instagram.
Oof. Yeah, give me a second, Stephanie, because I'm going to look up something real quick. My first Instagram account was called Fashion Advice 23.
Oh, yeah.
A pretty iconic name, if I do say so myself. Let me try and find it real quick.
I remember I had a second account that I posted on. It was called, like, Pinky and Chip, which is the names of my cats. And I would post, like, the dumbest stuff on there. But I remember I used my dad's email without asking him, and he was trying to set up an Instagram account. And he's like, yeah, it says there's already an Instagram account made. And I was like,
that's funny. So, I have some sad news. I can't find it, which is really strange.
Really?
But, I mean, yeah. I don't know. I don't know where it is. But, I mean, regardless, it was, like, just photos of my cats and stuff. Nothing important, but I wanted to know the date. Oh, well. So, today needless to say, yeah. Today, we are actually going to try... Oh my gosh.
We've been on Instagram and social media for a long time. That was my conclusion.
Yes, that is true. And in this episode of the podcast, we're talking about social media, but we're going to try and focus on the toll that it can take on mental health in many different ways, because as a person in Gen Z, I'm sure you probably know, and maybe as a parent, I'm sure you've probably heard a lot and maybe you are worried. So we're going to be here to confirm your worries, but then also tell you that it's okay.
Yes.
Because there's also pros to it.
So welcome to the world of social media in the digital era.
Yes. Blah, 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 blah.
So what should we discuss first? I mean, I guess when we were in elementary school, I feel like the social pressure of social media didn't really set in.
No, not at all.
Because,
I mean, it was more so, like, you wanted to get a certain... Like, I didn't actually care how many likes I got, but, like, getting 25 or something was, like, kind of cool.
I know.
But, like, it didn't actually, like, matter to me at all. It was just, like... I would post, like, photos of, like, a lemonade Capri Sun, I remember. Just, like, random stuff like that. It just didn't matter. But now that we're a little bit older, there's a lot more sort of... pressure, I guess.
And that could be self-imposed, and I'm sure a lot of it is, but it also is, there's an atmosphere of pressure that you do feel, even if people aren't directly telling you to do something. There's a set standard for once you come to a certain age on Instagram.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. Like, I've never been told by somebody that, like, I'm, like, not good, I guess, because I didn't get, like, a certain number of likes or comments. Like, no one's ever verbally said that, but it's, like, it's just, like, implied in social media. Like, that's just, like, the way it is. Because you want to get as many likes as possible. And that kind of, like, measures how good your photo was. Or, like, how pretty you are. Or how likable you are. And, yeah, it can be, like, stressful. I mean, personally, I try not to care too much. But it's still there.
Yeah, and I think, in a way, social media reaffirms the social hierarchy that high schools have. Because, in general, if you are more, I guess, popular or well-liked among the school, you'll get more comments, you'll get more likes. And whether that be just from their friends supporting each other in weird ways, through the comments, like, you see it.
Yeah. And I think something you definitely notice for sure is with people who are more popular, I guess, you'll get... they'll be flooded with comments of people who aren't necessarily their friends that, like, just, like, want to be, or, like, want their sort of, like, I don't know, not approval necessarily, but want their attention in a way.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just, like, it's kind of strange, but, I mean, you do you. I'm not judging.
Because I feel like, to an extent, if you will comment, oh my god, so gorgeous, on someone, they're most likely, the more you do it, the more likely they are to do that to your post as well. So I guess spreading the kindness, although seems like a great thing at first, almost has a selfish intent behind it because you want that same validation back towards yourself.
Yeah, that's really true. Because I have done that. Like, people have commented on my post, and then I'm like, well, I mean, like, I guess I'll comment on theirs now because I don't want to be, like, rude. Is that just giving in to what they wanted? I don't know. Were they doing it with that sort of intention? I don't know. But if they were, I just gave it right back to them. So, I don't know.
Yeah. In some ways, it can bring more of a community about, like, with people that you wouldn't otherwise talk to in real life. But at the same time, that support system ends up pretty dry because it's like you're just commenting on your looks for the most part, at least for girls' perspective.
Yeah. And it's like entirely online. Like, never once have I actually like talked to somebody in person, like due to the fact that they commented like, so pretty or something like that.
Exactly.
And I feel like that's more valuable than just like an online compliment. But the world, it's a lot easier to be extroverted online.
Yes, I would say. Because you don't have to, like, show your real self because everything's pretty much manufactured.
Yeah, you can take as long as you want to think about something. Mm-hmm. Which could bring us to our next sort of subtopic, which could be where you maybe don't have as much time as you want to think about something to say, or you're feeling pressured because of the new thing called direct messaging and how fast that is and how fast you're supposed to talk to people and how you need to reply to them fast. I just keep saying
but
fast.
But before you say how fast this is going really fast, we need to pause for an ad break. Ad breaks help support this channel. Listen in. Have a good day. We'll be right back. And we're back. So, yeah, messaging definitely has a culture around it, and if you don't answer right away, it's seemed as rude or not caring. Or if you read it and then don't answer right away, that's even worse.
I know, that is just like, dang, it's just, wow. I can't even explain it, because it can be, you can feel so powerful when you do it, but you can be so small when it gets done to you.
Exactly, it's like a gut punch when you care, but if it's someone you don't care about that left you on red, it's whatever. But if you cared about that person wanting to answer and they left you unread, it's the hardest thing. You're like, why didn't they answer? Why didn't they reply?
What? I feel like I was actually thinking about this. Like, so in person, if you have in like a verbal argument with somebody, it's important, like with your parents, for example, or something, it's important to get the last word, whether it be subconsciously or not. And then they're like leaving you on read, I guess, in person. But online, it's, like, more important to leave the person on read than get the last word.
You're right.
Yeah, like, you don't want to be the last person to say something and be left on read. You want to leave that person on read if you want to feel like you won or you're powerful or something.
Yeah, because in that way, it's like you're giving the last word and you don't care what they have to say left over. But in person, you want the last word. I guess because that shows, like, you're ending the conversation. Boom.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess by leaving the person on read, you are ending the conversation, but not in, like, a verbal way. It's just, like, it's just by not doing anything. But, anyway, I was thinking about that.
Well, the one thing that's interesting is also that I have this bad habit I've developed slowly, is that I'm talking to more people, and I'll leave someone on read, and I just don't even recognize that I did, because I just read the message and I don't really, I think about my answer, or I just don't answer right away, and then like a few days later I'll just reply and I'm like, I wonder how this feels for them.
Yeah, I feel like I've definitely done that before too. Like, for example, on Snapchat, this is actually happening right now as we speak. Joe, this person named Joe, Snapchatted me. I normally don't talk to them on any sort of social media. And I was like, okay, you know, fun conversation. And I Snapchatted back. And then I hope they're not listening because this is going to be really awkward. But I guess they'll understand why now. And then they sent a video and it was really late at night. And I didn't feel like replying with like my face, or like if I had to like send a video back or something if they said something. So I just didn't open it. And now it's been 3 days and I still haven't opened it. And I feel partially bad, but at the same time, like, I can't open it now. It's been 3 days. Like, what do I say? So, please give me strength to open this Snapchat that's been sitting here for going on 4 days now. But I feel like that kind of highlights, like, a different version of, like, how it can be talking to people, because once you don't answer somebody, once you don't leave them on read or open it, and it goes for so long, then it just gets awkward, and then you feel bad. But in person, it would just be like, you just talk to the person. Yeah. There's no, like, there's no waiting, there's no thinking about it, you just talk.
Because also the thing with social media and texting in general, which I guess we've touched on our Decoding the Text episode, highly recommend that episode, check it out. There also is an aspect where the conversation happens at the pace of the reader, not the pace of... Because people, when they're texting, they're in their own lives, they're in their own worlds, and they kind of enter this digital world when they're ready to text. So then when, like, if someone's a slow replier, like, 3 minutes, then it's like every conversation happens at 3 minutes, where a normal conversation would happen instantaneous. So if you don't reply and it's 3 days later, do you continue the conversation that was happening? Because, like, yeah, you have an answer, but it's 3 days later and I'm sure they forgot what they even sent.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like another thing too is, like, when you're talking to somebody and you like talking to them, it's not like you're trying to leave them on read or something, and maybe they're just, like, an acquaintance, like, how do you end the conversation? I guess sometimes it can, like, you can get this weird feeling when the conversation is clearly starting to end, but you don't know how to actually stop it. And it's just, like, really awkward, like, small things going back and forth until somebody just doesn't reply.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just feel like that atmosphere is, like, so uncomfortable. I hate it.
Yeah, I don't know how people just can fall into this texting culture and understand it. And it's just, it's a constant stress.
Yeah, I'm not really a huge fan either. I mean, it has its pros, but it also has its cons.
So I guess we can talk about the culture that are existent on each different platform, because each platform, like Instagram, Snapchat, each app definitely has a different vibe to it.
Yes.
So I guess Snapchat is trying to take people into your life more, because it's more instantaneous, and you send the dumbest ass pictures of yourself to other people. But then at the same time, like, when you post on your story public, it's either you're trying to get a message across, and people will normally check it out, and they'll be more willing to message you back, I feel like, on Snapchat versus other platforms, if they don't know you. But then at the same time, it's like your story is still... you're trying to show your best life. Like, if you're bored at home, you're not really going to post.
Yeah. I posted on my story for the first time in, like, a year. Like, I don't know if that makes me weird or something. Like, I don't post on my story. Like, if people are like, Genesee never posts on her story, I don't think anybody actually cares. But anyway, what I posted was, dun, 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 we're trying to get people to... we're trying to put together a podcast episode displaying different people's messages, opinions, like, any sort of beliefs regarding the Black Lives Matter movement and all the events that are taking place because of it. And we're trying to put together an episode to just spread awareness, show support, just have a nice, normal, like, friendly atmosphere conversation. And we're not necessarily going to have, like, it's not going to be a sit-down interview thing. We want people to send in, whether anonymously or not, like, messages that they want us to just say. Just because it's a very current and important topic, you know, it'd be good to cover. So if you're interested in having your opinion, message, support, anything out there, make sure to DM us and we can set that up.
Yeah, also you can do the audio messages too that we mentioned. So if you want that. We want to include as much diversity as possible, so if you don't think your voice is worth hearing, I'm sure it is. Don't discredit yourself just because of who you are, what you look like. But also, we do want this not to be just two white girls sharing people. Like, this is about you guys. This isn't about us. So,
yeah.
Say what you want to say.
Yeah. So, I guess there's that. Make sure to do that if you're interested. And, yeah, back to the topic, what we were talking about. So, yeah, I shared that on my stories the first thing in a while, and no one replied. No one emailed us, which is fine. But, so, yeah, I don't post on my story super often. I don't know why. I just, like, something about it just, like, feels strange. Like, I don't want to.
It's like you're bringing strangers, essentially, or people you're not close with into your personal life, and that's not necessarily... I also feel like there's a degree of bragging. I don't think everyone's bragging when they post on their story, but it can feel that way, especially when it's, for example, let's say it's homecoming night or something, like the dance or something. Everyone's posting that they're at the dance. And then if you're the one person that's not at the dance, usually I'm at the dance, but that's definitely like, I know even if you don't like dances, it can still feel like you're left out of something, like a big event.
I agree with that. I think, too, like, something, when people just post, like, selfies on their story, like, with no sort of, like, message or anything about it, just a random selfie, like, I mean, I can't judge too much because, like, you know, they're feeling themselves, they're confident, let them do what they want to do, but, like, I just personally feel so, like, I would just feel so strange about doing that. Like, it's weird because, like, I know what these people look like, so when you're, like, clicking through stories, which I don't really do that very often, it's just weird to see like random people's faces just like just posed with no like sort of caption or anything. And like I feel like I don't know, it's just like I don't know, something about it is just so weird because like with Instagram you have like a caption at least, and that's like the whole entire point of Instagram is just post photos. I guess it's a point of Snapchat too, but I don't know, it's just like weird.
I just feel like when you put it on a Snapchat, Instagram, it's, or I mean Snapchat story, not Snapchat Instagram, that's not a thing. It's just kind of, I guess, for us two being who we are, I guess we don't value our looks as much as maybe other people do. And I'm not saying that's a conceited thing, because it's not to put value into that, but I guess we don't need to show it off in a way.
Yeah. Like, like, Stephanie and I, for example, will take photos, like, for Instagram. Like, we'll go out of our way to have, like, a fun photo shoot day. Like, we're not, like, people that are like, wow, like, you take photos of yourself? Like, wow, so shallow, so gross.
Honestly.
Like, we're in the same boat. We just don't, I guess, like, whenever we do, we put a lot more effort into it than just a selfie for some reason. I don't know why.
Which could make us more conceited than those people.
Yeah, that's actually true. Yeah, that's probably true, actually. But, yeah.
I guess that leads into setting up our Instagram profiles. Because, obviously, Instagram is, again, more about the picture. And I'll say for myself, I do put more effort into my photography and pictures of myself than, I guess, the average high schooler in our school would. But I feel like I have a good reason for it. I find photography very fun, especially self-portraits and even portraits of someone like you, Jess, you'll help me take the photos. It's kind of less about me showing off myself, but also me kind of documenting my experience on the world.
Also, just if you guys are listeners that do not know us personally and you want to check out our Instagrams, we're following them on the WTF Gen Z account.
Yes.
So you can go to that and then see who we're following. Yeah, with my Instagram, I'm looking at it right now as we talk. There's a good amount of just, like, self-timer or something. Like, things I just set up to do. But there's also some more, like, photography-based ones. Like, photo that you or Andrew took of me at Glen. And then, yeah. But then, like, there's self-timer ones from when I was on vacation and stuff. So, I don't put, like, a ton of effort into it. Like, I don't really do a whole lot of like photo shoot things, but I also haven't posted it in a really long time.
Yeah, you really haven't. You just don't look like that anymore.
No, I have my hair color changed 2 times since the last time I posted. So, yeah.
Well, for me, I guess, like, I'm trying to make it an artistic vibe, you know?
Yeah.
And I just kind of like showing that the world you live in can look better, even though I do edit my photos, which is controversial, I guess, in some aspects, because then you're, like, faking the world. But it's also, like, there's... My kind of goal is to show that there's good life in every corner, as much as where we are right now doesn't always seem as good as somewhere else. It's kind of what I'm going for.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can see that in your posts with all, like, a lot of the nature and stuff.
Yes. But I also am trying to capture memories that we've done. Yeah. Even though most of the memories I try to keep for ourselves, I feel. Because it's not really, I don't need to show off the experiences I've had.
Yeah, some of the photos that I post, I realize, are kind of random. Like, well, maybe just this one, but you and me and then three of our friends just, like, dressed up really, really weird at the mall. I don't know why I posted that, but I guess just because it was a funny photo. But
here's the caption. So, dot, dot, dot. Basically, we're ballers.
I didn't want to say that in the podcast. I purposely left that out just because it's kind of... It's a little awkward, but
I feel like fine. You kind of go for, like, I'm kind of cringy, but I'm also kind of cool. But, like, I'm not trying to be cool, so I'm being cringy, but that makes me cool.
Yeah, that was definitely the vibe I was going for during that time. And I can really... Okay, I can... That is largely due to TikTok, I think, which is another social media platform. So when I first joined that in, like, late 2018, the whole vibe was, like, be cringy and that will get you popular and cool on TikTok. And I just took that into my personality. And, it worked. Not so bad, but I got in a compilation. So, like, it worked, but, like, I was, like...
Compilation.
Like, my sense of humor was just, like, so terrible and down the drain at that point. I mean, it's still not the greatest, but I think I've progressed a little bit since then. Like, I tried to be a little less cringy and just a little more, like, I don't know, normal. I don't try as hard to be cringy, and if I end up being cringy, then it's just because that's who I am. Which is sad, but it's the truth. So, a thing that I wrote down that I wanted to talk about mental health was... These, like, so communities that you can find on Instagram, really, like, Tumblr, like, back in, like, 2015, maybe. But I've seen it on Instagram a lot recently. And, I mean, actually, on TikTok, people are, like, creating these sort of communities. But if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's, like, I guess communities of people that will post photos that aren't necessarily about recovering from whatever mental illness they have, but more so, like, encouraging it. Like a, like, pro Anna community, which you may have stumbled upon just, like, randomly if you fall into a depth of Instagram where people are, like, what's the word? Supporting people who are suffering from anorexia and, like, egging them on, which is, like, disgusting and terrible. And that's really what Tumblr was, but they got rid of a lot of that stuff. So I feel like if you find that sort of stuff on social media, it can become extremely toxic. But if you stay away from that, then social media is only toxic because of your worrying about likes and stuff.
Yeah, because the one thing also about Instagram and social media in general is that you do curate what you see, because the algorithm wants you to like more stuff, wants you to find more things that interest you. So if you are looking up those kind of things, unfortunately or fortunately, they will pop up in your feed more often.
Yeah, so I just feel like, because that can be, like, really not good. And I know with Tumblr, like, I had it for, like, I don't know, a few months. But, like, that sort of stuff would, like, pop out, like, without looking for it. Because, like, it was so popular in that community.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, like, or not that community, I mean, it was so popular on that social media platform that, like, stuff like that would just come up in your Explore or your homepage because people that you were following for a different reason, maybe in that same, like, community of people. It's just, So, I deleted Tumblr. And I know that since then, they've, like, changed a lot of stuff, which is good. But
yeah, I guess social media does create, although it separates people, it also brings some interesting niches together, I would say.
Yeah.
For better or for worse. Yeah, for sure.
Because you can, like, definitely whatever you're interested in, you can find a group of people on Instagram or any sort of social media that are interested in it too, which is great for bringing people together. But if, like, what you're interested in is a bad thing, whether it be, like, some sort of mental health illness that you're, like, I don't know, have a bad relationship with, or, like, pedophilia, like, I've seen communities of, like, that, too. Like, it's bad. Like, and I know Instagram tries to cut down on that stuff, but, like, you can never necessarily get rid of all of it.
Mm-hmm. The one thing that I'm going to shift topics a little bit is how much time people spend on social media.
Yes.
For our generation, the reality is the balance between life in open air situations versus life on a screen is becoming more and more equal.
Yeah.
Depending on who you are, especially. For instance, I'm not judging, but there are people in Snapchat, and if you know, Snapchat scores, I think, go up a point every time you send a photo or receive a photo or something like that.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, people have over a million Snapchat scores. I don't even have 100,000. I've had the app since third grade, even though I've been on and off of it. But that's a million photos that you don't even know what you sent.
Yeah. Mine isn't at 50,000 yet. It's like 48,000. Because I didn't use it because I had, like, a phone that couldn't have it for, like, 3 years. Mm-hmm. So I didn't use it for, like, 3 years. But I have met somebody personally through, like, a family connection whose Snap score is now at, like, 1.5 million, I think. Like, it's crazy. And, like, I would see her, like, just go on her phone and then there'd just be, like, just, like, you just scroll through and it's just new snap from so many people, and you open it and it's just, like, a black wall, or, like, a photo of their face, or, like, literally, like, just anything that doesn't actually mean anything. And it's, like, the whole purpose is just getting your Snap score up. But, like,
yeah, this girl from our school who's in our grade has 1.6 million on Snapchat.
I don't even know who you're talking about.
I'm not going to say the name because I feel like that's just shaming, but I'll tell you after this episode. It's
okay.
Concerning.
Yeah, that's a lot. And I mean, like,
you just look at people's screen times, for instance, and that's all they spend. Let's talk about someone named Joe who can't go 5 minutes without their phone. And when their phone's dead...
I think I know who you're talking about.
I think you do, too. And their phone is dead. The only thing they can possibly think about is getting a charger from someone. They'll ask anyone.
Yeah. Or if they misplace their phone for, like, I don't know, like, 30 seconds, they're like, where's my phone?
Where's it? Where could it be? Oh, my gosh. Do you have it? Did you see my phone? No. I didn't take your phone.
Yeah. And I know that Joe does... streaks still. I don't do streaks.
Yeah, there's so many people who still do streaks. I think my one friend, also named Joe, coincidence, I know. I'm just kidding. But he has, like, a 900-day streak with someone, and he's like, oh my god, did I send my streaks today? Oh my god. He was freaking out. He's like, I don't think I did.
Oh my god.
That's like, that's multiple years. Like, that's over 2 years.
Oh my god, that is crazy. I didn't think about it that way.
That means you didn't go a day without your phone.
I used to do streaks, and then I would get grounded, and then I couldn't do streaks, so then I just stopped altogether back in, like, I don't know, 8th grade maybe? Or no, 7th grade? Because then that's when my phone... Yeah. So it was around that time. But it was just... Like, I have one streak. It's 70 days, and at this point, it's with one of my closest friends, so, like... we'll be talking to each other, so it's not like we're just purposely trying to keep the streak up. But also, the fact that it's 70 days is kind of, like, fun, so, like, maybe if I don't actually feel like snapping somebody, maybe I'll just send a photo of my face just to keep it going, because it's 70 days. And it's one person, and it's one of my best friends, so, like, you know.
Yeah,
it happened by accident, too. So it's not like I was purposely
trying to slur speak. Yeah, accidental streaks are the best thing ever. One thing is so weird. I'm like snapping this one person and I'll get like 3-day streak with them on accident. But then they just will stop talking to me until the streak is gone. Then they'll just talk to me again. I'm like, what? You're trying to not have a streak. Like, awkward.
That's funny.
But also, I remember when I stopped doing streaks, I think it was freshman year, I had like a 365-day streak with someone. That's the longest I ever had, I think. Or at least at the time. And I never talked to this person really ever in real life anymore. So I ended it on 365. So we never went to 366 or whatever. And they got so mad at me. They sent me messages like, why'd you end our streak? This is ridiculous. And then my other friend also did the same thing. They're like, you ended our streak. We had such a long streak. You were my longest streak. I'm like, I don't care. Like, that's embarrassing that you care about that.
Yeah, that's... I feel like... I mean, streaks don't have, like, a toll on mental health or anything. Like, it's just something fun, I guess. But, I mean, like, I feel like once you get to a certain age, like, you know, maybe, like, you shouldn't be so worried about sending streaks. Because they mean literally nothing.
Yeah, especially when you add someone or you put on your story who wants to start a streak.
Why? Slide up if you want to start a streak.
Especially when everyone usually just sends, like, the black images and just puts an S on it. It's like,
yeah.
There's no point.
Yeah. I actually tried to start streaks again in the beginning of this year, just because, like, people had messaged me about it, and I was like, okay. So then I did with a few people. It was, like, maybe, like, 9 people. But then they all ended. Well, I ended it, I think, because I just didn't feel like it anymore. So that's a little success story. If you want to end your streaks, just go ahead and do it. Stephanie and I both have.
Yeah, people may come at you, but... it took, like, a day, and then no one cared.
Yeah. So, yeah, end your streaks if you don't want them.
Yes. Don't feel obligated to have some sort of routine, and taking a day away from your phone is definitely a good idea.
Yeah, so I guess for sure.
I want to talk about something that also relates back to what you were saying earlier about political movements and stuff on social media. First, I want to talk about the reposting culture on Instagram, Snapchat, and stuff like that, and how that can positively or negatively affect a movement.
Yeah. I've seen that with, like, all sorts of things, like, those environmental posts, too.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is, like, meant to spread awareness and stuff. Which, like... yeah, I'm trying to think about what to say. Do you have what you wanted to say for it?
Well, because there's a certain degree of... I was watching a YouTube video who's kind of explaining this today. But there's a degree of... you can repost it and spread awareness, but how much of it are you participating in yourself? Like, for example, take environmentalism, for example. They'll repost things like cruelties of the Brazilian forest fires or the koalas in Australia that happened earlier this year. But I can promise you that a lot of these people are doing daily things that are... equally as bad, and they're supporting companies that are hurting the environment, and yeah, the reasons these things exist.
I see exactly what you're talking about. Like, it can be seen as, like, you could be seen, you're trying to set an image of yourself as being, like, progressive and cool and, like, very interested in these topics, but then you don't actually take any measures in your real life to support them at all.
And just a brief rundown of my opinions on environmentalism specifically about that is I do agree that corporations are the largest impactors on the globe in regards to carbon emissions, but we also as individuals can 1 + 1 + 1 + 1, if you add that up you get a larger sum. It's just basic math. I think we can all understand that. But you have a choice with what you choose to consume. So if you want the burden to be on you, then you're just helping the problem. So if you don't want to support a company that is so terrible for the environment, then you have the monetary power to choose not to do that.
Yeah.
And likewise, there's a lot of easy ways that don't risk your financial budget, even if you are in a tight financial situation, that also help the environment. For instance, not using plastic bags, that's like the easiest thing that you can do. Like, sure, it's a minor inconvenience that you have to remember a bag, but if you actually cared enough to repost something, then you should care enough to apply something like that into your daily life, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I feel like so many people, like, so many people's parents for grocery shopping have at least one reusable bag. Like, I know my mom has had them for as long as I remember. So, like, and I've seen people, like, everybody has a reusable bag, whether it be from some random store. Or even if you don't have, like, a reusable shopping bag, you have just, like, a drawstring bag or something. Exactly. Like, you could use anything. Like, a random tote bag. Like, anything. You could use it.
Exactly. And then, I guess, my also concern is, especially with what's going on right now, how many people are just reposting because they feel the pressure to show their support when they might not actually support what's going on?
Yeah. I personally, so for environmental things, I've never reposted something, and it doesn't mean I don't care. It's just, like, I don't care to do the, like, environmental, like, chain thing on Instagram. But for the, what's going on right now with the Black Lives Matter movement, like, really being prominent, I reposted one post because it particularly stuck out to me, and it was just a list of names of people that have been killed due to police brutality, or murdered, I guess, and that post particularly stuck out to me, and it kind of, like, really, I don't know the word, but, like, it really stuck out, like I've been saying, so I figured I'd repost it because maybe it would do the same for somebody else, and, I mean, I'm not doing, like, a ton for this, like, movement. Like, I wanted to go to the protest yesterday, but I was home alone, and I had no way to get there, so...
Well, in regards to the protests,
before it got violent, I wanted to go before it got violent at night.
Okay.
I don't want to be there when it's particularly violent. But I wanted to be there in the beginning when it was, like, peaceful and people were just marching, because that's a good way to show your support and be involved. Like, we've gone to the environmental one for the
Youth Climate Strike. Check out that episode as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. We interviewed some people from the strike. Very good.
Yeah. And I've gone to the Women's March, and the strikes and marches, they help really drive the message down, and it makes you feel like you're helping out and you're doing something. And unfortunately, I couldn't really do that, but we're trying to put together the podcast episode, so we're doing something besides just reposting. And I've signed some petitions, too, about, like, George Floyd and stuff, so I think taking the extra measures... It's no one else will know that you're doing it. I mean, unless it's the podcast, I guess. But if no one else knows that you're doing it, like, it's better, but, like, I guess no one will know that you're doing it at all, but it's good for yourself.
Yeah, the good things that you do in life, you shouldn't be doing because you want to prove to people that you're a good person.
Yeah,
it should be enough just to do it yourself.
Like, when celebrities donate to charities and they make a huge show of it, and they're, like, constantly posting about it, you know, there's videos about them handing out the check and stuff, versus when celebrities, like, privately donate and, like, they don't really say anything about it, maybe only the charity does. Like, that's a lot more honorable, I guess.
Yeah, because in that degree, it's like you are trying to gain more of a following and... more of a social media engagement, and again, that sense of popularity. I think with social media specifically, because that is the focus of the episode, we all kind of want to be famous in our own little worlds, so I guess having those comments, having those likes is us getting that ounce of fame that we all kind of desired, especially as little children, wanting to be, like, the next pop star or something like that.
Yeah, wanting to be Hannah Montana. And I guess before we get further into it, we should take our second ad break.
Yes.
Right, like we said before, the ads help the podcast keep going, and if you want less ads, just make sure to check out our listener support. Thank you.
So we're back. One thing that I do want to touch on, and we're gonna jump topics a little bit. here's something that interests me. It's like, what is your opinions on how much you can edit, for example, a photo, or I guess edit your life, editing who we are on social media?
My opinion. So, personally, if I'm posting a photo, I Okay, so say I had, like, a huge pimple, like, on my chin or something. Chances are, if it was really that big and bothering me, I would edit it out because it's something temporary. In a week, that pimple will be gone. That's not how I permanently look. Mm-hmm. But say, like, I don't know, like, my right eyebrow was, like, significantly higher or something. I mean, it's not, so I've never had to choose whether to edit it or not. But, like, if it was something like that, I feel like I wouldn't edit it because I'm sure there's, like, everybody has imperfections. And I don't edit things that are, like, permanently part of my body, like any sort of, like, bone structure, face structure, anything, because that's not how I look. But like I said, like a pimple or something, like that's different.
Yeah, I guess when you're editing a photo and what you choose to edit, I think there's a degree of how, like, you can show yourself however you want to other people, but you also have to consider what you're showing to other people, how does that make you feel?
Sorry, there's an ant on my wall. Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong in particular with wanting to make yourself look a certain way on social media, but I also worry that you have to think, I want to make sure that people value themselves for who they are before they value what they want and wish they could be, I guess.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I was listening, although I was just go to move that ant. With celebrities, I feel like, obviously celebrities edit a lot more, and I feel like if they make it known that they facetune, like, for example, James Charles always talks about facetuning, like, it's a thing. Like, I guess that's okay, since people know that you're altering your body, and it's, like, a funny thing. Yeah. But if celebrities, like, do it, and they don't say anything about it, then you're just, like, you're putting in really bad ideas into young people's minds about how they should look, and you're not telling people, this is fake, this is not how exactly I look.
Because no matter how big or small you are on the platform, you do have a reach to other people. And whether you choose to use your platform responsibly or not is, again, your choice. But I would encourage people to use it responsibly and use their platform for the betterment of society, because I don't understand why you would want to bring other people down, either to bring yourself up or, honestly, it would probably bring you down just the same.
Yeah, because I feel like the act of editing your body, if you, it's not necessarily an empowering thing. Like, it, although, like, personally, like I said, like, I haven't, like, edited my body in any way. Like, I feel like if I did and I posted it, like, it wouldn't make me feel better about myself because I would just know that's not how I look. Like, and people, whether they could tell or not, like, it would just feel like I'm making something up. Like, I'm... Yeah.
Yeah, for me personally, I think that if I did edit my body, I would like the way I looked in the photo, but then when you're coming down to when you're alone, no one's looking, you're standing in the mirror before you get in the shower or something, and all those insecurities pop up, it would just make it even more difficult to handle.
Yeah, for sure. Because before you know it, you're, like, comparing yourself to the edited version of yourself, and then you're like, why don't I look like that?
Exactly, and that's just, like, the hard part is that we know each other, we know ourselves so much that we point out these fine details that no one would ever notice. Yeah. But it's because we look at ourselves in the mirror every single day. We look at ourselves in a photo all the time.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like, too, like, with celebrities again, like, and then when you see a photo of a celebrity that facetunes a lot, for example, and then you see a photo of them, how they actually look, it's incredibly shocking. You're like, wow, because it looks, sometimes their photos look so real, you can't tell they're Photoshopped, and you're like, wow, like, they're very fit, like, or something like that. And then you see, like, for example, Tana Mojo, I don't know how many of you guys, listeners, I'm sure you know who she is, but...
TanaCon!
yeah, TanaCon. There's a photo that was, like, circulating of her in, like, this yellow bikini, I think, and she, like, it was just, like, random paparazzi photo, I think, but, like, obviously she was still beautiful, like, she wasn't, like, ugly or something, but, like, her body just looked incredibly different than how it does in the photo that she posted, which, and she doesn't, like, say anything, really, about that, which is kind of awkward for her, I guess.
Yeah, also, and even if someone doesn't edit... Well, I think even if someone doesn't edit their photos, people are going to post the best pictures of themselves. So if they know their angles right,
yeah,
that's not how they look 360. So
yeah, that's true.
Like, whether that be they're sucking in, poking their hip out so their butt looks bigger. Like, they're working the angles here. And us average Americans, I mean, Americans, I don't know why I said
Americans.
Oh, sorry, average Americans. Us regular teenagers who maybe don't know those photography secrets may put that pressure on ourselves. And I know I've definitely, like, even though we know that we should never judge ourselves based on what we see online, it still happens.
Yeah, regardless. Definitely. Like, subconsciously or not, you're still, it's hard not to see a photo of somebody who is very attractive and be like, maybe you don't find them attractive necessarily. Maybe you just envy their body. But yeah, so it's hard not to, like, compare yourself to them, whether you know it's fake or not, because it's still something that you'd want, I guess. I don't know how to word it.
Yeah, so then, Jensi, here's my question. Because we've talked a lot about in general, but how has social media impact? I feel like we should talk about how social media has impacted us personally on that mental level, instead of saying it exists that mental health is a problem, but we didn't really say how it impacts us.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, it's definitely impacted me, like, it's impacted everybody. I feel like in my darkest moments of my life, social media does not help it get any better. Because, like, for example, with some sort of, like I was touching on before, like, those communities that, like, romanticize any sort of mental illness that doesn't help you heal at all. And maybe you're looking to heal, but you stumble upon the wrong thing, and then it just makes you spiral. I'm being incredibly vague, I know. But that's just because, like, it's, I guess, an uncomfortable topic. But, so I'm saying that it hasn't helped me in that sense, but there's also a lot of really good accounts and people and maybe, I don't know, hashtags out there, I guess, like ways to find things that can help you, but sometimes it's hard to focus on that when you're in a bad state of mind. And as for, like, body image and stuff, maybe when I was younger a little bit, like, 9th grade, I would compare myself a lot more, but I kind of don't follow as many celebrities now, or, like, look at their posts, or people that really edit. And if I do, I think I know a lot more now about, like, editing and stuff, and I expect that that stuff isn't real, so I don't focus on it as much, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've seen a lot of YouTube videos about, like, this is what this person actually looks like, and a lot of really empowering people out there. I feel like, so what I'm trying to say is when I was younger, in, like, 9th grade, 8th grade, social media was really not good. But now that I'm older and I'm wiser, it's fine.
I would say for me personally, I kind of go back and forth between my opinions on social media. For me, it's important to get that detox every once in a while, even though it's kind of hard to commit yourself. Because I feel like, to an extent, social media can be addictive.
Yeah,
whether
for
we
sure.
want to admit that or not, a lot of people in our school, they're constantly on their phones, and that's just a reality. And you feel like you're missing out if you're not constantly on it. For me, I think it's all about who I follow, again, like you said, and how I fill my feed. I've recently filled my feed more with content that, if something makes me feel bad, if an account makes me feel bad, whether that person's intentionally doing something, I mean, they're not, they're just being who they are, but if that account makes me feel lesser of myself, even if it's, I'm just gonna unfollow it. Like, I'm sure they're not intentionally trying to do anything, they're just living their life, but I'm also trying to ensure that I'm surrounded by the best energies possible, so yeah. I will take that step and unfollow them.
I think that's a really hard thing to do too, like, especially when you're younger, like I'm saying, to actually take that step and unfollow somebody, because it's so easy to just kind of let that thing hurt you and then feed into that in a way and keep letting it happen. But if you really, like, take that step and you move forward to try and prevent that from happening, it can be a lot better. Now, personally, I wouldn't necessarily, like, prevent, I guess, my kid, for example, from having social media at a young age. But I definitely consider it because, like, it can be not a good thing. For sure. Like, because when you're so young, your mind is so easily influenced.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe by the time that we're old enough to, like, have kids, then it would be a different sort of environment. Who knows? Who knows if Instagram will even still be around?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a hard balance because if you don't let your kid have a social media, then you're kind of restricting what they're being exposed to, which yeah. can be both helpful or harmful.
Socially, too. Time. Like, they could exactly. feel really, like, really distanced from their friends if mm-hmm. they don't have it.
I guess if I were to have kids, I'm not going to... I don't even know about that. It's too early to say anything.
Yeah, we're pretty young.
If I were to raise a child and I had to say how they would... the relationship with social media should be, I would probably want to first make my relationship with the child more open about it.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a hard thing to do, but I feel like understanding what they're like, having that conversation of what are your interests and just getting to know your child on a personal level, I think is so important because then you can know what things are influencing them on social media.
Yeah.
Even if you're not like hounding down and checking their social media, you can know, and then you can kind of help guide them or just see how what things are influencing them and what's taking up their brain's mental space, and then you can better judge from there.
Yeah, I really, really agree with that. I feel like before you sort of restrict your child from something, if that thing is potentially damaging, it'd be a lot better to just be open about that sort of thing if they could come to you about it first than having to, like, make them uncomfortable. Because, like, I feel like the more you sort of restrict something with a child or get uncomfortable or upset if, like, they are, like, involved, then you're just distancing yourself even more from ever being able to, like, understand or have a better relationship with them, which is, like, top priority, I feel like. Why are we talking about parenting now?
Yeah, so guys, we're professional parents now. This is our mom podcast. Professional parents. So we're professional parents. We know everything. But I guess, like, if we do have parent listeners, which isn't as high as our teen listeners, I guess take advice from us because we are living.
Yeah.
We are the living kids. This is how our brains work. Take
this
the advice.
This is WTF is up with Gen Z.
Yeah, exactly. See what's up with us. And I guess.
So, yeah.
Try to understand who you're talking to. That's my best advice.
Yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, like, who knows what will be popular when we're older? Because, like, right now, I'm sure our parents are like, Jesus Christ, what is going on with social media? But, like, we're probably going to be like that once we're older with whatever is going on then. Who knows what's going to be happening? But, yeah.
I guess my biggest takeaway, like, the one thing that I want to keep with me throughout life, if I can, like, I want to constantly remind myself, because this, I feel like this, what I'm about to say right here, is the difference between if you will have a successful relationship with someone or you won't, whether that be romantic, your kid, your friend, a stranger. It's seek first to understand, because it's not, if you can understand where they're coming from, you can grow so much as a person and grow so much together. So
yeah,
even if
sure.
it's your enemy, even if it's your ally, even if it's your kid, whoever it is, that's, like, the one thing that I really want to never forget. Because if I forget that, I feel like that's it. You're not going to be a good parent if you can't understand your child.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Or
that's
your friends.
True.
Like, that's just my quote for the day.
And I feel like on the topic of mental health, especially with social media or anything, because, you know, that really... social media can act as, like, a catalyst for, like, poor mental health in many different ways, but not necessarily with just, like, parents or something, but with anybody. It's important to understand that, like, literally every single person has their own struggle, has their own individual struggle. And once you can recognize that, like, I guess you're not the only person that's hurting. And this isn't in just a way of you personally to find help, but like in a way to understand that like everybody needs help for something. And although like some people may seem like everything is like awesome, like it could be small thing like body image with, well, that's not necessarily small, but body image with Instagram models and stuff. Like once you understand that nobody is living a perfect life, then it's easier to grow as a person and grow with other people too, I feel like. I'm trying to word it the right way, but it's just, I guess what I'm just trying to say is just make sure to recognize that nobody's living a perfect life and everybody has a struggle. Because that makes you a better person, I feel like, once you take a step away from thinking about yourself and you're like, I'm not the only one who is dealing with something, I guess. I don't know.
So, look at us turning this into an advice podcast. Who knew?
Advice for parenting?
Yeah, advice for the kids we don't have and don't know all the struggles of being an adult and everything. But I guess you took a step into our mind today. I hope you like listening to this episode. That's basically it for today. We gave you some extra content. I hope you enjoy.
Yeah.
If you want to hear more, continue to listen, show your support, give some audio messages, check us out on social media. We want to hear from you guys because we are talking here on a Zoom call because quarantine exists right now. And we don't want to just be talking to us for the rest of our lives. Because as much as I really appreciate you, Genesee, it'll get mundane after a while.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So, share your voice. So, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. This was Genesee.
And Stephanie.
And we discussed, well, a lot of things, but mostly what social media / mental health with social media is like for Generation Z in the digital era. All right. Thank you guys so much.
Bye.
Bye. Goodbye.